Happy New Year, Dan.
Happy New Year, Will. I've forgotten how all this works. What do we do here? Do we talk about the album straight away? Do we get straight into the chart chat?
No, just a little lovely fun preamble here. Go insert your preamble here. That's okay. Not a euphemism.
No, we don't do those anymore, do we?
Oh, giving them up for
2024.
Yeah. First recording of 2024. It's probably too late now to say Happy New Year. We're a lot of bad luck due if you say it now.
Well, let me tell you this. I took little Digby for a walk just two nights ago around here.
Your dog?
My dog, Digby, yeah. Not my other half. And one of the neighbours has still got their Christmas tree up. And we are recording this a week before this episode goes live. So it's Tuesday, the 9th of April. And that Christmas tree is up.
So we've not only had Christmas New Year, we've had Easter now.
With Valentine's. And I don't know what...
And Valentine's and Mother's Day. What's the next big event coming up?
Oh, we've just had Easter as well, haven't we? So it must be Eurovision.
Eurovision, if you're participating, if you're indulging this year. But actually, the next big event starts right now because Track by Track is back.
That is the event. This is the event. This is the moment. This is our year, Will. I can feel it. But first, we've got to get into the swing of things because this is literally the longest we've gone without recording. It has been over 4 months since we pressed record, sat down, gazed into each other's eyes awkwardly, and chatted about pop music.
Well, let's look after each other today. Let's ease each other in gently as we do Track by Track 2024, AAKA, the best year we've ever known.
Oh, optimistic. Is that because we're only here for 8 months of it?
Maybe. Also, I keep saying something significant as a great point for us to cut into the music, but you keep talking, so...
I can't help... this is going to be it for the episode. Oh, is that another one?
So here we go. Track by Track is back. When a podcast takes an extended break, whether the listeners will come back again. And at the time of recording, that remains to be seen. But we're certainly beckoning and tempting everybody in with this episode, aren't we?
Yes, we really are. This is an album from a huge band.
If you've forgotten, it's one of your favourites, Dan, if you've forgotten.
Vanilla. It's, of course, it's the debut. I was going to say it's a huge album from a huge band. It's not one of their biggest albums, but it is their debut album, Ring Ring, from ABBA. And of course, it's all been about ABBA for the last couple of weeks, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. We're recording this very close to release. And just as we talk, we've just been recovering from an avalanche of ABBA-related content celebrating the 50th anniversary of ABBA's win at the Brighton Dome, just a small matter of 55-0 years ago.
It's half a century. So they've been going for longer than half a century, but they won Eurovision half a century ago. And it has been extremely exciting. I felt almost like the kind of vibes you get when it's the Queen's Platinum Jubilee or something like that. It's just been all over the shop. And of course, I'm living in London. They are all over the shop anyway. They're all over with ABBA Voyage, with Mamma Mia the Party. I'm getting a lot of ABBA content and I'm not annoyed about that.
Yeah, we've had, I think ABBA Voyage did a huge celebration with a star-studded guest list. I saw online Gail Porter was there.
Oh, Jenny Powell. I think she was DJing. Do I mean Jenny Powell?
You do mean Jenny Powell.
Yeah, because also I think I've mentioned it before, Celebrity Link. She used to go out with the uncle of my brother's childhood best friend. So I'm actually annoyed that she didn't invite me to the Voyage party, actually. That's a bit annoying.
I mean, we've been twice, but I would have enjoyed not a trip with Jenny Powell and Gail Porter, but I would have enjoyed going again for the 50th anniversary. I saw they were giving away souvenir pins to commemorate the occasion. But also, I think Benny was at Mamma Mia.
Bjorn,
on Saturday night.
Bjorn was there.
Sorry, I had 50-50 chance, wasn't it? But I was listening to, don't ask me why, but I was listening to Michael Ball on Radio 2 at the weekend. And
why?
He had, I said, don't ask me why.
Sorry.
he had one of the main cast on there. And she was waxing lyrical about ABBA, obviously, but also the celebrations. And I remember when we were there for the
20th anniversary.
20th anniversary of Mamma Mia.
Mm.
And there was a star-studded lineup of former cast members and Benny and Bjorn there as well.
Yes. And you were really taken by one of the former Dynamos. Apparently she was...
Yes.
Who was it?
It was Harriet Thorpe.
Oh, do you know what? I was just thinking, because I only really know her now through EastEnders. And I was thinking, was it Harriet Thorpe? No, I'm sure she wasn't in that.
Yeah, she's the new landlady of the Queen Vic now, Linda's mum, Elaine. But obviously, any child of our time worth their soul will remember her from Absolutely Fabulous, from the British Empire, French and Saunders, and so many other things. But she's obviously a huge musical theatre star as well. And Mamma Mia being one of the many roles that she's had over the years.
Oh, I can say I've seen Harriet Thorpe in Mamma Mia and didn't even realise it. That's wonderful. She was, of course, as part of a big encore where they brought out about 15 dynamos, wasn't it? Or something like that.
Mm. So we're talking about Ring Ring today. Very exciting, everything that's going on with ABBA at the moment. And probably more to come as we go through this year as well.
I think so. Yeah, as we said, Eurovision just around the corner. ABBA's 50th anniversary of winning. There's got to be some sort of celebration there, hasn't there?
Absolutely.
Now, Will, one thing we've got to point out, of course, is that this is our first episode of the year. We are recording this right now. We're recording this on the 9th of April, 2024, just a week before episode release. But the actual bulk of the episode, we spoke about last year, didn't we?
We did, back on Patreon. But we're pleased to bring this episode, or the bulk of the episode, for everybody now. But we are obviously talking very much about what's happening here and now as well. And you will hear and see more episodes like this coming through the rest of the year, as well as brand new episodes.
Yes. So the plan for 2024, track by track version 3.0, let's say, we are bringing you an ex-Patreon episode every month with some brand new chatter at the start. We want to bring it right up to date and talk about what's going on with some of those acts we've been celebrating. And we are releasing the series that we had on Patreon, one episode a month, kicking off with Further Listening, which is the series where we deep dive into the back catalogue of some of our favourite artists. Further Listening, of course, inspired by Pet Shop Boys. The first episode of that, of course, Pet Shop Boys, and that's the one being released to everyone next week, if you're listening at time of recording.
And we're also going to add, where appropriate, some further listening to those episodes as well. Think of them as the deluxe version of those episodes now. And obviously, Dan, with Pet Shop Boys, we have got some prime new material for ripe for plucking for that Further Listening episode that's coming up later on this month.
So it's a Further Listening edition of Further Listening. Is that right?
Don't think about it too much. Just think about it as a deluxe edition. I like that.
Mm, making my brain feel itchy. And then, as you said, Will, we're going to be releasing some brand new episodes, whether that's huge classic pop albums celebrating milestone anniversaries or brand new albums from some of our favourite acts with the acts to go track by track through it with them. So as we shared with our patrons a couple of weeks ago, we're not releasing episodes exclusively there right now. That's not part of the plan. And just to be honest, and just as we said with them, we just haven't got the capacity right now to be releasing 3-4 plus episodes every month of brand new material and content, have we?
No. So we wanted to channel our energies into releasing great episodes available for everybody with a mixture of remixing some of the stuff we have previously released on Patreon, but with brand new episodes as well in the mix. Then we can also have lives, Dan.
Would quite like that.
If you want one.
I'll think about that. I'll take that offline for now.
Up to you. Optional, yeah.
I would love a life, but just to say, I absolutely love doing Track by Track as well, and I am very happy to be doing this today.
It's great to be back, isn't it? It was great to collect up all of the contraptions and equipment and test the sound and all that gubbins. And hopefully, Dan, because we're not together today, we will be recording together soon as well.
Yes, I think that will definitely happen. It has to happen.
Physically, in the raw, yes.
Yeah.
Naked.
Now, Will, remixing and re-recording and all that kind of stuff, remastering these episodes, means that we can also right a couple of wrongs if we want to. And there is one that I would like to do. So later on in this episode, I talk about Neil Diamond writing Daydream Believer by the Monkees. He didn't write that. He wrote I'm a Believer. So don't all start writing in to Leamington Spa. I've corrected that myself with the help of a patron who let me know as soon as the episode went live.
Many more corrections to come over the coming weeks. So, Dan, let's get stuck into the episode proper. And I believe we kick off being quite a buzz after having just been to Abba Voyage.
Couple of giddy kippers. So why don't you give us a call? Because on the turntable this week, we've got Ring Ring by Abba. Or should I say, Will, Ring Ring by Bjorn Benny and Agnetha Frida. Because that's how it was originally released.
Yes, because we're going right back to the beginning. And, first of all, actually, if you do want to call Ring Ring, Dan, his telephone number is 07...
No. Three times is enough.
Three rings.
Just give me three rings when you get in after this recording. Because we are in person again.
We are in person again today. And, Dan, should we tell them where we've just been?
We really should, because you were just about to say we've gone right back to the beginning, 50 years ago, Abba's debut album, and we've just been to somewhere very special to celebrate.
Something very now, very 2023. We've just been to Abba Voyage again.
We've literally just walked through the door into the studio coming from Abba Voyage. Our second visit, regular listeners will know we've seen it before and we've waxed lyrical about it. Will, how was your second time?
It was just as good, and I just really got into the details this time round. The staging, the production, the song compositions, who was doing what in the band, the fantastic lighting, a couple of trips to the bar as well.
You knew where that was not this time.
Yeah.
You couldn't find it last time.
Also, I knew the right moment to go to the bar.
Well, for me, there's no moment to go to the bar. What on earth are you saying? But it's very... welcomed visit.
Well, I didn't see you saying no to that gin and tonic I brought back for you.
No, I wouldn't. No, wouldn't be so rude.
Slap that out of my hand. Funnily enough, though, nothing from this album today is in Abba Voyage.
And I think this is the only Abba studio album, including Voyage, of course, which came out in 2021, that doesn't have any material to feature in Voyage. But as we'll come on to talk about today, probably for very good reason, because it's a very different Abba album. However, we do know that there's scope for Voyage to change. Obviously, it's only been out less than a year. We're coming up to the first anniversary.
So if you're holding out for me and Bobby and Bobby's brother to be in the set list, then it could happen.
It could well happen. Ring Ring would be great in there, though, wouldn't it?
Brilliant.
But then again, I can't imagine changing it. It was just... I was still just as emotional when it started. I'm still on just as much of a high now. I already can't wait to go back again.
Mm.
And you know, when you speak to people about it, I'm sure you've spoken to many people when we've been together and when you've been away in Bristol, your hometown now, you just have to say, don't you? You can't describe it. You cannot describe it.
You've got to go. And we know somebody, we have a friend in common who I would not have put there, and he's been and loved it. And is badgering us to go again.
Yeah. Wants to join us there.
Wasn't best pleased, actually. We found out we'd been again.
No, very unhappy. Very bitter, actually. Mm. Which is not the right attitude for Abba Voyage.
But bitterness aside, it did remind me there today how loved Abba are. How committed ABBA fans are and how much fun and just joy ABBA brings.
Absolutely.
Thank you for the music, is probably what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, thanks, Lovis, for the music.
But it's true, isn't it?
It's so true, yeah. And the age ranges as well. We were sat behind a family of kiddies and grandmothers and whatnot, but they were all there dancing.
Yep, there was a girl in a wheelchair sat in the extra access area, which was no problem with. What I did have an issue with, she got up at the end and started dancing around. So,
But you've got a photo and a video.
Yeah.
And you are going to report her to various authorities.
Oh, the Metropolitan Police, I think, need to hear about it.
Mm, the courts, ABBA Voyage.
And
ABBA themselves, the individual members, will probably be sickened by that.
Benny and Bjorn would write a letter.
Mm.
But that's enough.
Poison pen.
Oh, yes. Yeah, great show. But this, Ring Ring, this is the ABBA album that I'm least familiar with. And it's been fascinating getting stuck into it over the last week or so in preparation for this episode. Because I have to say, Dan, very enjoyable, lots of fun, but very different.
Very, very, very different. Which makes sense that it's not part of ABBA Voyage. But like you said, enjoyable. You can see the roots of ABBA. You can hear the roots of ABBA and what would become of them here, can't you? In some of the songs, far more notably than the others. But it's just a really interesting listen. And I'm very excited to go track by track through it.
And why are we going track by track through it now?
Because the album is about to turn 50. So ABBA's debut album released 50 years ago.
50 years ago. During the show, they reference how long their career is and how they went back into the recording studio after so long to record ABBA Voyage, the new album. It was also, and I think we said this the first time, it felt really strange when they were singing, obviously the ABBAtars are younger versions of themselves, but they're singing songs that they only wrote and recorded and released within the last 2 years.
Hmm. It's a very a juxtaposition, you could say.
Or headfuck.
Yes. But
we won't.
This is a family-friendly episode, so.
Oh, okay. Thanks for the warning.
Yeah, that's your one strike.
So, Ring Ring, do I need to say who ABBA are?
No.
Right, it's Benny and Bjorn and Agnetha and Frida, and this album is their debut album, Ring Ring, released in March 1973. Such a long time. This album even predates me.
Mm.
And you'd be the first to make a joke about that.
Absolutely not. I wouldn't be so distasteful. But what's interesting about this one is that it wasn't officially released in the UK until 1992. Or in the States until 1995, because they just weren't an international band at that point. They started to get some notoriety in Scandinavia and they had some hits there, also in Germany as well. But it wasn't until Eurovision, of course, the album after this, 1974. So 50 years next year since they won Eurovision. But at this time, they just weren't as well known.
Do you think we'll be seeing at least Benny and Bjorn this year as part of the Eurovision celebrations?
I hope so. Because, yeah, worth noting, at time of episode release, if you're listening on Patreon, Eurovision just a few weeks away, being held in the UK, it would be lovely for them to be there for it. Of course, they won in the UK. But also, I think they'll be present for next year's as well. Mm. Maybe they've got to decide which of the two is more important.
Well, I mean, we'll save the detail chat for our Eurovision episode, which is coming up soon. But there's a very good chance Sweden could win again.
Mm, yes.
So that would make it, the stars would align even more so. But I'm sure we'll be talking about why Sweden could win again. Because if it isn't one of the songs we select to talk about, I think we both need taking out down by the bins and shooting.
Ah, I wonder where that was going.
Fellating.
So, a lot to get through. I'm probably going to keep talking about ABBA Voyage throughout the episode, if that's all right, Will. I'm on a bit of a high right now. But let's get stuck into this one. Worth noting, actually, the text of choice this week is the international edition of the album, not the original Scandinavian edition. So, side one, track one, is Ring Ring.
Ring, ring, the happiest sound of them all. Ring Ring there. And I can't believe how this song had passed me by for so long. Everyone loves your Mamma Mia's and the Waterloos and your Dancing Queens. But I would say this is as big an infectious earworm as the best of them. And for a lot of ABBA fans, they would never have heard this song, I don't think.
True. But I do think of all the songs in this album, it's probably the one that most people know. Because if I think about seeing Bjorn again, who I've been lucky enough to see many times over the years, twice at Glastonbury, which is always a real treat, and a few other times as well, this is always part of their set. And I think it's the only one from this album that does feature in their set. And it always goes down a storm.
It does, and I don't know if there's a dance routine for it, but we'd kind of invented our own, hadn't we?
There is.
And there
it's
is.
Quite similar to ours, I have to be honest.
Oh, I haven't seen it. So anything that I have done is an original thought.
Well, you have seen Bjorn again, so I'm not calling you a liar, but...
You are. I think it's very... It's a great song to kick the album off with, and I love the fact that you just launches straight in with that guitar. It just gets you moving straight away. And I think, you know, the rest of this album isn't as instant and poppy and hooky, not Peter Hook, as this song. But I think it's a great way of getting you into the album.
It's a great slap around the face to get you into the album. And it's got that major wall of sound, hasn't
yes.
it? Which is because the engineer of the track, Michael B. Treto, had been reading about Phil Spector's techniques, and so he used what he'd read for this recording, which I think sounds great. Obviously, we wouldn't... ABBA... I mean, this is going to be said about all the tracks on the album. This isn't a signature sound that ABBA would keep throughout their career. I think there's so many sounds and genres that they touched upon, but probably disco is the biggest one that comes out. But here, a really important part of their sound and where they started...
And obviously this English language version wasn't the original. It was very much in the mother tongue to start off with. And it was then translated and changed so it had more of a broader appeal.
Yes, the original version, Ring Ring, Barra du Slog und Signal, Ring Ring, If Only You Called, was translated with Neil Sedaka, who I don't think we've talked about Neil Sedaka before, but he's written some of the biggest hits of the 50s and 60s. Calendar Girl, Happy Birthday, Sweet 16, Breaking Up Is Hard to Do. Also, Is This the Way to Amarillo?
And we all know about that.
And we all know that actually wasn't the way. Well, according to Ronnie Corbett, anyway, if you've seen the video.
He came off, didn't he?
Mm. Yeah. Poor lamb.
Old, but he's dead now.
Well, not because of that.
No, because of the freezer meals.
Yeah, didn't defrost it properly.
Wiltshire Farm, not Farm Foods, because Farm Foods is the... second rate Iceland.
No, there's a Farm Foods meal thing as well, I think. It's confusing, but I think there is. You don't seem to trust me. And prior to Waterloo becoming the song that we'd all get to know them for because it won Eurovision in 1974, this was entered into Melodifestivalen to represent Sweden in 1973, but came third in the competition. Now, how different things would have been. If this would have come number one, would it have been as big as Waterloo was? Would they have done as well? Would they have won Eurovision? Love just thinking all these different ideas, all these different situations.
Also fantastic to think Melodifestivalen has been going for that long as well, and how much incredible pop music has come out of it.
And there's not much chart chat this week, Will. However, this single did chart in the UK in July of 1974. So it charted after Waterloo and after their victory there. It entered the charts at number 48. I won't run down the top 50 of that week, but I will let you know that in the top 10, you had the likes of Paul McCartney and Wings with Band on the Run at number 7, Leo Sayer with One Man Band at number 6. The Drifters, Kissing in the Back Row at number 2. And at number 1, Charles Aznavour with She. Aznavour, probably. With She. Is that the She that Elvis Costello covered for Notting Hill?
Potentially.
It did reach number 32 in the charts, though. at its peak. So a top 40 hit for them. Their second top 40 hit after Waterloo hit number one. But what's interesting about this track is that in Sweden, the Swedish version went to number one. At the same time, the English version was at number two.
It just shows just how hot people were for ABBA back then.
Are you hot for ABBA?
I'm hot for ABBA.
Especially after seeing that show today.
Yeah, it was very warm in that big room.
Well, I just meant they look quite, especially when they're in the kind of those neon outfits and the kind of the lads have got their hair slicked back and the girls have got the high ponytails. They all look fantastic.
Is it okay to fancy a computer-generated image? I suppose, yeah, after all the lads and Tomb Raider and other ones.
And if you've seen any of Stacey Dooley's most recent show, all sorts of people doing all sorts of things with computers and AR and AI and whatever. But it's not the time or the place for that, really.
Track two now. Another town, another train.
Just another town, another train. Waiting in the morning rain. Lord, give my restless soul a little patience. Just another town, another train. Nothing lost and nothing gained. Guess I will spend my life in railway stations.
Another town, another train there. And we're getting straight into this sort of folksy sound of ABBA, aren't we? This early folksy sound that came from the sort of acts that Benny and Bjorn were playing in before ABBA. And of course, Agnetha and Frida, they each had their own solo careers with much more traditional Scandinavian sounding music rather than what they would go on to create altogether. But it's a sweet, stunning little number.
It is. It's very fluty. Mm. And definitely, I've been schooled in the origins of ABBA by listening to this album and this song, after Ring Ring, which kind of has that hook to it, as many ABBA songs that went on to pass did. After that, this one, like you say, is very much more this traditional folk schlager sound.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you can tell it's a little bit more traditional because they're sat on the single cover, they're sat on a blanket in a park.
Oh. And they're probably sat on a blanket in the pyramid stage field of Glastonbury, one of those.
Oh, get up, get out of the bloody way.
Don't get me started on those.
Get back. But it's a world away from the skin-tight neon leather jumpsuits they were wearing earlier.
In ABBA Voyage.
In ABBA Voyage.
That is my, yeah, that's my favourite look of the show. Phenomenal.
And I know what you're going to say, but they're not real, they're avatars. But, you know, the band, they signed off on all of that. And, you know, they very much were in creative control of those looks. So, you know, that kind of ultra futuristic neon look that they had was something that they wanted.
And it's just so weird to think about the ABBA on this single cover, on this album cover, the ABBA recording these songs 50 years ago. There is absolutely no way they could have ever imagined not only how long their career would be, how long their music would be loved and by how many, but a show like ABBA Voyage would have seemed like a made up, a fictional future. Just, I mean, if they could have gone back and told their younger selves. And I wonder how it felt for them when they first saw the show in full. It must have been, you know, it's mind-blowing for us, but for them, I can't imagine.
If you could turn back time.
We might get a share voyage, I think.
do you know what? That's a great idea. I wonder how many groups are circling the company that did all of that, thinking about what's possible now. And I don't know whether ABBA have some kind of exclusivity on it at the moment.
Mm. The thing is, though, the thing that's so special about it is that all of them are alive and were able to do that, aren't they? So with the Beatles, it can't be done. With the Rolling Stones, it can't be done. With the Who, it can't be done.
Who?
Exactly.
Yes. And a nice reminder is that at the end of the show is when the four in real time members come out onto stage. Not actually there.
No.
Still videoed. But as we just remind you that, you know, we're not celebrating an act that has passed. We're celebrating an act with all four members are still very much with us. And they recorded and released a new album recently as well.
Just crazy.
That's the dream, though, isn't it, Dan? To create something that earns you money every day that you don't have to do every day.
That's Patreon. So this song was a single not released in the UK, but released in Japan and released on Playboy Records in the US. It was also released in South Africa and Rhodesia, I'm saying that right, aren't I? Where it was a number 18 hit.
Top 18 hit.
Mm. And in Germany, it was released in German as Wer im Wartesaal der Liebe steht, which is probably quite good German, actually, I think, compared to some of my other languages.
A fair stab.
Mm. It was also covered by Nashville Train, a Swedish country band, which featured some of ABBA's backing band in 1977 on their album, ABBA Our Way. Moving on then, track three, Disillusion.
How can I forget you when my world is breaking down? You're all I have, you're all I want. Disillusion's now, that's all I have. Disillusion
there. Now, I think we've gone through folk and we're now almost sort of country, it feels like. I wouldn't, a country singer of the Dolly Parton ilk wouldn't be out of place singing this song. It's a very, I mean, the vocals here. Is it Agnetha or Frida?
This is Agnetha, who also co-wrote the song.
Good for her, actually. It's full of emotion and brilliantly delivered.
Yeah, she sounds phenomenal on it. And we've spoken before, haven't we, about how people singing their own songs adds another layer of performance,
yes,
of honesty. So maybe that's that kind of country edge you're talking about, because country music is often very storytelling. So this was written by Agnetha with Björn, produced by Benny and Björn for the album. But it later, in 1975, it appeared on her solo album, Elva Kvinnor I ett hus.
Well done.
Translated to 11 Women in One House. And that is a Swedish language version of the song on that album. And this is the only ABBA song to have been written by Agnetha, as I said, on an ABBA album. But there is a live track called I'm Still Alive, which was performed live by the band, co-written with Agnetha.
Track four now. People need love.
People need hope. People need loving. People need trust from a fellow man. People need love to make a good living. People need faith in a helping hand. Man has always wanted a woman by his side to keep him company. Women always knew that it takes a man to get matrimonial harmony. Everybody knows that a
people need love there. And this was ABBA's debut single, if you didn't know. And I think it's fascinating that there are so many ABBA fans out there, so many big ABBA fans who've been to Voyage, who've been to Mamma Mia and seen the films and have got ABBA Gold and love all the songs on there. But I imagine there are so many people out there who have no idea about this song and who would never believe that this was their first single.
And especially when I say this is probably my favourite song on the album, actually. Because if this is their first single, then they really set their stall out for the positivity, for the joy, and for the musical dexterity that they have in their songs from the word go. Because you've got this wonderful, positive, life-affirming message delivered in a very jaunty way. That also has some slight electrical flourishes in there, which would obviously develop more over the years. And there's a key change.
There is a key change, which I don't think we often get on ABBA songs, do we?
No.
I'm racking my brain as I'm going through ABBA Gold in my head. And it's not a regular thing. It's not like Westlife. You don't get one every song. But it is positive. It is life-affirming. This was recorded and released in 1972. So towards the end of the 60s, flower power, that kind of message still in the air. And of course, in Scandinavia, it feels like more of a hippie vibe going on there.
It's like a bit like you after a few too many G&Ts.
Peace and love. That or too much?
A bit too much.
Sorry about that. But the song was never really supposed to be ABBA's first song. In fact, as we said with the album, it wasn't credited to ABBA. It was credited to Bjorn and Benny and Agnetha and Annifrid. It was meant to just showcase the songwriting partnership of Bjorn and Benny, who had previously been in bands The Hep Stars and the Hootenanny Singers, and they'd started writing together, and this was meant to showcase this, and Agnetha and Annifrid, or Frida, were just the sort of backing singers, almost the guest vocalists. But it was a hit in Sweden, and number three in Sweden. It charted in America as well. And the rest...
is history.
Could probably say that's history, actually, yeah.
But I think this is one of the reasons I would encourage people to listen to this album. This, Ring Ring, and maybe a couple other tracks we haven't yet talked about. It's like, this is where I've been schooled. This is where I would push people towards to really get an ABBA, this ASDA, really get an ASDA education. Smart price.
Patting your bottom there. Like the advert.
Patting my bottom.
Patting your bottom. And another thing that stands out with this song, which I meant to say actually with Another Town, Another Train as well, a lot of Bjorn vocals, which of course we did get throughout their career, even on their, I was going to say their final album then, but not their final album, their penultimate album, The Visitors. You get a Bjorn lead vocal or joint lead vocal. Some of Benny in there as well, perhaps as well. Track five then, I Saw It in the Mirror.
I saw it in the mirror. Dan, I saw it in the mirror.
It's the way it's positioned, and it's two mirrors facing each other, so I didn't know you could see what I could...
I saw it in the mirror, like that scene in The White Lotus 2.
Oh, that. Yeah, no spoilers for anyone who hasn't caught up yet, but do check in
Lucky
on your
lady.
Uncles.
Lucky lady.
Oh, not that mirror. Oh, that. I was thinking of... Yeah, ignore that.
Don't check in on your uncle in the middle of the night.
Don't surprise. Surprise! Never surprise your uncle in the middle of the night.
Because he might insist that you send him off to sleep. So this song for me is, it feels a bit Beatles-esque.
Yeah.
Actually. And there's so much male vocal on this album as well. More so than I think we will come on in later albums to enjoy.
Definitely.
That's leading the songs, not just in the background.
You get more from the male members at the start.
True. True to life.
Yeah. But yeah, it's Beatles-esque. It's, again, folksy. I don't want to overuse that word, but it definitely feels one of the songs that's most far removed from what would come next for ABBA. But it's a nice song. It's a nice kind of... It's nice to have this different melody and energy. And
I guess they're still just trying to find their sound, their place, aren't they? So they're trying quite a few different things, different vocalists, different styles, different bits of plinkety plonk.
And it's interesting with this one because you really do just get Agnetha and Frida in the backing vocals, in the This boy cries.
Don't worry about them, Dan, because they'll really come into their own in the future, I think.
How do you know?
I've just got this feeling that they're going to make it play an important part in the success of ABBA. Watch this space. Track six now. And this is Nina, Pretty Ballerina. Nina, pretty ballerina. Now she is the queen of the dancing floor. This is the moment she's waited for. Just like Cinderella. Nina, pretty ballerina. Who would ever think she could be this way? This is the part that she loves.
Pretty Ballerina there. First of all, what a title.
Yes.
Great title.
Not the last time we're going to say that this episode, I think.
Definitely not. But this one, for me, it's a great track on the album, but it always stands out for me because in the show, I don't know if I've mentioned it to you before, Will, not Abba Voyage, there's another little show called Mamma Mia the Party that I've been to a couple of times and I quite enjoy. Mm. And this plays a pivotal part in that. And when I say pivotal part, I mean just a fun little moment that actually isn't that pivotal to the story.
A deep cut for fans, that would be.
Actually, Mamma Mia the Party is filled with deep cuts. It's more deep cuts than hits.
Really?
Mm.
Well, I suppose if you're spending that money, then you've got to be pretty committed.
Yes.
This, I love this. The chorus in particular is so quirky and so fun. And you've got that wonderful plinkety-plonkety, second time I've said that in this episode, piano, but a really great bass guitar running through the bottom as well. And like you were saying, folk music and Schlager often tells stories. And here we're hearing about, well, who? I think it's Nina, isn't it?
About Nina, lover, yeah. And this was a single, only released in Austria and France. I think it's really interesting with this album because 8 of the tracks were released as singles, but some only in certain territories. But in Austria, this reached number 8 in the charts.
Yes, they seem to have a very splattergun approach to releasing singles in different countries early on in this album.
And this song is a favourite of Sirius radio host Lynn Samuels. Are you aware of Lynn Samuels?
No.
She's based in New York City. She is a political radio show host. And she would play this song on a Friday to reward herself for working all week. This is the song that got her through the week. Do you have a song that springs to mind that you think, if you've made it through the week, you're going to play to celebrate?
No, but it used to be The Weeknd by Michael Gray. I can't wait for the weekend to begin.
That the Saturday night's takeaway theme?
No.
Oh, sorry.
I wouldn't know what you meant anyway, because I don't watch ITV.
What about Ready for the Weekend by Calvin Harris?
Can we stay out for the weekend? No.
Or Living for the Weekend by Hardfi?
Ah, you used to love that song. We must do a Hardfi, the Hardfi album.
Well, we put it to the vote, and it didn't win.
And it didn't win.
So, moving on then, flipping the record over to side 2, and this is Love Isn't Easy, but it sure is hard enough.
This is one of my favourite songs on the album. It's just, it makes me smile and it makes me laugh as well. Laugh because of that bong, almost comically over the top drum. But also, I think the chorus is fantastic. And the sweet, sweet, our love is bittersweet is a lovely refrain or reprise or whatever you would call it. But I just think, and any song that's a song title, then brackets, a supplementary title,
yeah,
I do enjoy as well. But also, Love Isn't Easy.
No, but it sure is hard enough.
Bong!
And some people think it's a bit of a double entendre, that love is hard enough.
Do you think they were into that sort of thing back then?
No, I think ABBA have always been very innocent with that kind of thing.
Mm. Not us, however.
No, absolutely not. Happy to have it hard enough, if not harder.
Yep. Would you like this song, Dan?
I love this song. And like you say, it is quite comical, that bong. But even taking that away, it's just fun. The backing vocals are fun. The melody, the whole structure of the song. It's just a fun piece of music. Great to hear all 4 of them singing together as well. And it kind of reminds me of, because it's talking about, it's like quarrels between couples. And I love how the lads are singing and the girls come in with their bit. And when the girls come in with their, look at that guy, it's the guitar's a bit heavier. It kind of changes the sound of the song. And it really reminds me of No Doubt About It from Voyage. And just how that kind of quick, very quickly changed style. And it was also about sort of disagreements and things like that.
Mm.
I think there might be a little link between the two songs there.
I would be surprised with ABBA, actually.
Hmm.
You know, there's probably a lot of introspection. When they come to record, write and record an album after so long, there's probably a lot of introspection on their past career. What's worked, what hasn't worked, what they'd like to revisit, what maybe they didn't do well enough or what they didn't do fully enough they want to do more of.
They can do what they want, for me and for most people. This was one of the last songs to be recorded for the album before its release. So it's one of the freshest sounds on Ring Ring. And it was released as a single, but not in Sweden.
Where?
Not in Sweden. Just elsewhere.
You don't know.
Although it did chart at number 3 in Sweden. So it's all very confusing.
Track 8 now. And this is Me and Bobby and Bobby's Brother.
Bobby and Bobby's Brother there. Talking of double entendres and songs being ruder than they are, it's not about.
No, it's not a Rita Sue and Bob Two situation.
We're having a gang bang.
Although it does have the same sort of knockabout fun to it, doesn't it?
It really does. But no, a much more innocent track, isn't it? Reminiscent of childhood friends and that kind of thing.
Mm.
And again, what a fun song.
I always put it together with Love Isn't Easy because it's got very similar vibes, very similar sounds, pianos in there as well, quite very jaunty. I think mid-album, it's a nice double impact.
DP.
DP.
Oh, DI.
No, not DI. But what are they talking about? Childhood times and shenanigans, not in a non-sexual way.
Yeah, it's just innocent, isn't it?
Mm.
And I guess at the time, ABBA, you know, this is a long time ago. This is 50 years ago, but ABBA were adults at the time, thinking back to their childhood. I love actually, as part of the ABBA Voyage show, I love those moments where they do talk about, you know, before they were ABBA, before they were famous. It's you almost forget with some people that they weren't always in the limelight, they weren't always superstars. Particularly my favourite bit, spoiler alert, mini spoiler alert, but when Frida talks about her grandma, that's a very touching moment of the show.
Yeah, and that is such a minor spoiler. It really isn't anything anyone's going to lose any sleep over. People, oh my God, what is she saying about her grandmother?
She's still alive.
A shocking revelation. Really?
No.
Oh.
No.
Well, she would have been back in 1973.
Hopefully. No way of knowing. Well, there is a way of knowing.
There is a way
of knowing.
I'm not going
to look into that. And I think with this one as well, you just get the impression that, and with absolutely zero disrespect to Benny and Bjorn, but lyrically, me and Bobby and Bobby's brother, you know, it's not his best English on a song, is it? I don't think an English person would describe it like that. But
no,
it works well in the flow of the song.
I like
but...
the way me and Bobby's brother, it does flow really nicely. But also, Dan, 50 years ago, I expect they were still on a huge learning curve with writing and harmonising and constructing songs in English.
Absolutely. And as I said, zero disrespect, because their English, even back then, even way before then, is far better than my Swedish.
And your English now.
And my English now, more importantly. Or me attempting to pronounce any word that isn't English. And actually some words that are English. So it's all, yeah. Next one then, and Will.
Yes.
He is your brother.
Treating Will, he is your brother. You might
brother there, Dan. It just reminds me of that April Fool's Day a few years ago when I told you the boy from the chip shop was actually your brother.
Yeah.
With a very convincing family tree from ancestry.co.uk. It was all a big ruse, and I know there was fisticuffs, like as featured in the song, but we all had a good laugh about it the next day.
Yeah, and actually, it didn't stop me anyway, did it?
No, it didn't stop you anyway. No. And morals out the window after a few drinks in the chip shop. But this is another song. It's a great nostalgic slice of life from getting into scuffles and fights with people's brothers, as I'm sure you've done in your youth, Dan.
Well, not much really. My brother, not the chip shop, even though he wasn't, but my actual brother, my dad, maybe a little bit more fisticuffs than me back in the day, I would say, not now, growing up a little bit. But me, no, always been a lover, not a fighter. People need love, Will.
People do need love, but sometimes they need a clip round the ear as well.
Or a good thrashing.
Or a whack round the face. With a big fat
cock. But of course, treat him well. He is your brother. It's not even talking about an actual brother, is it? It's being more metaphysical, if that's a word. I want to say metaphysical.
Colloquial.
Interestingly, my granddad, he calls everyone, any man that he meets, he calls them brother. Anyone he meets down the street, now then, brother, how are you, brother? And when I was younger, I did think he had several brothers. I thought they were all his brother. But this is following the theme of people need love, isn't it? On the lyrics, they sing, I could hear someone saying, as though he was praying, treat him well, he is your brother, you might need his help someday. Feels quite biblical.
But also, I think the sound of it and the style of it reminds me a bit of Scissor Sisters, actually.
Yes.
A kind of pop country.
Honky tonk.
Honky tonk. It's a good way to put it. But just the way it starts, the piano, then boom, 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 boom.
And you know what? I think I'm, you know, jumping the gun here. Maybe haven't got all the facts, but I think Scissor Sisters might call ABBA an inspiration of theirs.
Big inspiration.
This actually reminds me of two later ABBA songs, only a little bit, but the piano slide right at the start, of course, Dancing Queen. And have to call out, when we saw ABBA Voyage today, I'm not sick of talking about it yet. I don't know if people are sick of hearing about it, but...
Yes, and I was sat there next to you.
Yeah. When Dancing Queen started, everyone got on their feet. I forgot. I know that is their most known song, but they've got so many well-known songs. But I forgot the scope, the difference between that and everything else. Everyone sat down for Lay All Your Love on Me, for Gimme Gimme. Not everyone, but a lot of people sat down for those ones, Voulez-Vous. But the second Dancing Queen started, everyone was on their feet. It was like it was a whole different entity in itself.
Yeah, it was a call to arms.
But it reminds me of Dancing Queen. Also, at the bridge, I get hints of SOS in there.
Yes, definitely. I thought that as well, actually.
And this was another single. This was released in Scandinavia and a few of the European countries, Will, but not the UK, sadly.
This is getting ridiculous now.
The B-side of this one was called Santa Rosa, but it had the working title Grandpa's Banjo.
Right, let's move on. Don't say anything. Let's move on. Track 10 now. She's My Kind of Girl.
Look at her face, it's a wonderful face, and it means something special to me. Look at the way that she smiles when she sees me, how lucky can one fellow be? She's just my kind of girl, she makes me feel fine. Who could ever believe that she would be mine?
So she's my kind of girl there, a very different sounding song on here. The whole mix of this song sounds very different, and that is probably because, well, a couple of reasons. This is the only track on the international edition of the album that doesn't feature on the original version. In its place on the original version, you had the English version of Ring Ring, whereas the album started off with the Swedish version of Ring Ring. But also, this was originally released as a Benny and Bjorn track. So this doesn't feature the girls.
Well, no wonder I was wondering where the girls were. That explains it.
Out the back of the recording studio, having a fag, yeah. By the bins, by the biffers.
I do think it sounds a little bit like, who is it? Like a Daydream Believer and...
Neil Diamond.
Yeah.
No,
The Monkees.
The Monkees, written by Neil Diamond.
Yes, sounds a bit like that. And, you know, if that's what they were going for, great. If it wasn't, it's still a really interesting sound to it. But there's a rawness to this.
Yeah.
Which almost predates the rest of the songs on the album.
Definitely. And it does, because this was recorded in 1969, so 4 years before the album came out. And it was released in 1970. And it was a massive hit in Japan. It sold over 500,000 copies. It also was featured in Inga 2, The Seduction of Inga, which was a soft porn film.
Ah, so all of our talk about, oh no, don't want to mention a double entendre.
Yep.
But actually, they're getting into bed with soft porn.
And I've heard rumours that when ABBA Voyage does move to Japan, because I'm sure it will, they're actually going to incorporate some of that.
Some soft porn into
it. Because this was such a big hit there from the film. That is actually going to be part of it. And the team at ILM are now working on how to construct that with the cast, with the...
Breasts.
The bottles. The bottles? The models. The bottles. Breasts and the mounds and the... dinkles and
nipples
whatnot.
And tipples.
All sorts. And I do have the album Lika is the album by Björn Ulvaeus and Benny Andersson. And it's in Swedish for the most part, but you really can hear their songwriting style. It's, even though you can't, I'm sure many people could, I can't sing along to it. There's some really interesting sounds on there and some beautiful sounds as well, I have to say. Moving on then, penultimate track on the album, I'm Just a Girl.
I am just a girl, one among the others, nothing much to say.
I'm Just a Girl there, unfortunately not a cover of the No Doubt song, or not the original of the No Doubt song, but a great time to talk about the fantastic album artwork. And they're doing some very high-tech stuff for this high-tech jiggery-pokery.
Messing with my eyes, actually.
The Boffins have been have created this. It's a lovely picture of the four of them, two couples, and then it's the same picture inside it, and then it's the same picture inside it.
How did they get more than one of them?
They've probably been using industrial light and magic from the word go.
This was the first project they worked on.
Cutting and sticking.
Mm.
But it's, yeah, so it's... it's a nice photo, actually. Very, a very old photo, because obviously it was 50 years ago. And at the top you've got Ring Ring, Bjorn, Benny, Agneta and Frida.
And on more recent versions of it, they've updated it to say ABBA on there. But I quite like the original version. I quite like this is how it originally came out. I know I'm contradicting myself, but I like that it's part of the ABBA canon so that they did change it. So I don't know what I like, actually, Will.
But, yeah, let us know when you do.
Yeah,
anyway.
Well, I know everyone's on there on 10 talks. Mm.
The song itself is a kind of hazy, dreamy, balladesque song with the girls back on lead vocals that I just can't warm to at all. I'm really sorry, Dan.
No, it's definitely it definitely has a different sound to it. This is another one that was written for a film, for a Swedish film titled Tjur Sventon, Private Investigator.
Soft porn again?
And don't know, but I'm going to assume probably yes.
Bloody would, wouldn't you?
And I think it does sound like, it doesn't sound like a song for this band. It sounds like a song they're writing for something else. So I think if you did see this in a film, porn or otherwise, you could see it fitting into a scene. But yeah, as a song on its own, not my favorite from the album. Quite like the vocals, how they're different, how they're more, how did you call it, hazy?
Mm.
Quite mellow. But not one that's going to stick with me. But something to say, if you do want a hazy cover of No Doubt's Just a Girl, Florence and the Machine have just released one.
Ah, great link.
From the, I think it's from the new upcoming series of Yellow Jackets.
So we're on to the last track of the album proper now, and this is Rock and Roll Band. Let me show you that.
Sound like a rock and roll band on this one.
Oh, those grumbling, groaning guitars, like we've not heard the like of, on this album. I think it's a lovely thing to hear right at the end. But just gets to you really get to hear their musical prowess. Where, you know, they can rock out with the best of them. You know, so many other different approaches they've been trying out on this album, and here you've got a guitar.
It sounds great. Taking it back to ABBA Voyage, of course. Spoiler alert, and I'm going to talk about what the second track is, so fast forward 30 seconds if you don't want to hear. Hole in Your Soul, which of course, the lyrics, it's got to be rock and roll to feel that hole in your soul, or to fill that hole in your soul, sorry. That is a great moment, isn't it? And I like that they're doing rock and roll there, but it feels much more ABBA because of the girls' vocals, and it's got more of a pop finish, whereas this genuinely feels like good old-fashioned rock and roll, mate.
Pop pickers. Now, it's worth noting that although this is the last track we're talking about today on the album, there are other versions of this album have other tracks on.
Yes, lots of bonus content and lots of demos and different language versions and all that kind of stuff. Lots of homework for you, basically.
And I would definitely say homework indeed for anyone that wants to really hear the origins of ABBA. Just to, you know, we can't really do it justice. Listen to the album and see what you make of it, to see where it all came from.
And before we move on from the track, let me just say this was another single from the album. This one released in the US. You can kind of imagine that, can't you?
Yeah.
Because they want that
very radio
sound.
Friendly for the US.
It was their third single there. It was credited to Bjorn and Benny with Anna and Frida, but they spelt Frida's name wrong. They put an E in there. F-R-I-E-D-A. So many incarnations, so many versions of their name before we got to ABBA.
And just a word on the reception and performance of this album. So it got to number 2 in the Swedish album charts, where it was released back in the 70s. Very modest reception in terms of how it was received and critiqued, and definitely... probably their least successful album for obvious reasons.
Mm.
As in, it was the first and more experimental.
Yeah. And it, to be honest, thoroughly enjoyed going track by track through it today. But it's the studio album of ABBA's that I'm least likely to put on.
Mm.
Just because it feels experimental, it feels new, them being a new band and finding themselves. But some fun stuff on here.
So time for some further listening. Dan, I'd love for you to go first.
So I am going to go for Merry-Go-Round.
I have tried in vain, never had success. So it seems my life is nothing but a mess. I have lost my only friend. Now it seems I have to start.
So Merry-Go-Round there. Originally, this was a single in Carousel, released in 1972 in Sweden by Bjorn and Benny. But it did feature Agneta and Frida on vocals and backing vocals before they were officially working together. But I love how 60s this one feels. I love how it feels quite psychedelic, a little bit early Pink Floyd, maybe something like that. But then that chorus comes in and you know where you are. You know it's good old-fashioned sing-along ABBA. What do you think, Will?
I think it's really good and up there with most of the other album tracks, and certainly preferable to Just a Girl.
Ah. Mm. Will, what have you gone for?
Time for a bit of fun now. And obviously, ABBA have been covered a lot over the last 50 years, whether it by bands, artists, producers, DJs, remixers. And in 1999, Angel Eyes released an album of high-energy Europop covers, and Ring Ring was one of the songs featured on this. Let's have a look at that. Listen to that, shall we? Angel Eyes of Ring Ring. Not much about in the terms of remixes from this album, such as how old it is.
Mm.
But I heard this and just thought it was so ridiculous. I actually prefer it to the original.
I'm joking,
of course. But if anyone's huffing some poppers this weekend, then do pop this one on for a little bit of a bop.
Yes, do. It's a lot of fun. It reminds me a bit of the Abracadabra Almighty Records.
Almighty, yeah.
And what I did like about them is that they often did have lots of deep cuts as well as the obvious, the ABBA Gold stuff. But always fun to hear different interpretations of ABBA songs, especially the ones you wouldn't expect.
Almighty did a really, really actually decent cover of The Visitors.
Yes, I remember that. I had a couple on CD actually of those collections.
We're out of time. So that was ABBA, Ring Ring, and I'm rung out after all of that.
Because obviously we've listened back to these episodes ahead of them going out again, and it is such a fun album. And as a huge ABBA fan, I can't quite believe some of the stuff that's on there, because it's not, when I go to put ABBA on, I put on Summer Night City or Slipping Through My Fingers or Lay All Your Love on Me or whatever. Like, I never really go to many of the songs on that album, but it's great to go back to where it all began. And Will, that was the 50th anniversary we were celebrating there last year. We've just had the 50th anniversary of the Waterloo album, which we haven't celebrated yet. We might have to wait for the 55th or whatever. But next year, I'm pretty sure there'll be another milestone ABBA anniversary, should we want to go track by track through it.
And we are back up and running now. So we are back next week, if you're listening, at time of episode release, with another episode. Dan, can you give us a hint of a tease as to what's coming up next? Oh, I've not said that for a long time.
No, it's nice to bring that back, isn't it?
Mm.
So, yes. So, as hinted at heavily at the start of the episode, it's going to be the first episode of our sister series, if you like, Sissy series, Further Listening, the series where we go deeper into our favourite acts. And we're kicking off with our favourite band.
Pet Shop Boys, Further Listening.
Are you giving it away?
If you listen to this podcast regularly, then it's not really a giveaway. But yeah, our first, I think we actually ended up doing 3 Pet Shop Boys Further Listening episodes.
Mm.
So it's the first in a trilogy of episodes, but a deluxe version with a couple of extra tracks thrown in just for fun, just on its release for everybody else. So we do look forward to hearing from you. We do look forward to you hearing us again then, if you tune in.
We would love to hear from you. We would really love to see those ratings and hear your reviews. If you're enjoying Track by Track, then please do let us know on Apple Podcasts. Spotify, I don't think you can actually write a review on there, can you? I think you can just rate it. I'm not really a Spotify user, to be honest. Sorry, Spotify. But we would love to actually read out some of your reviews at the start of these new remixed and remastered episodes. So please do let us know what you love about Track by Track. keep it positive. Come on, peace and love. 2024.
At Track by Track UK, if you please. But that's it. So until next time.
I've been Bobby's brother.
And I've been Nina, the pretty ballerina.
Aw, twinkle toes.
Aw, thank you very much. Goodbye. Goodbye. Track by Track.